Cruz gets curveball and flies one deep to right. Back goes McNeil onto the warning track. Right at the fence, and he made the catch! Right at the orange line! McNeil!
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Shea Station Podcast. It's episode 127. It's Monday, January 30th, and the Mets are not done spending yet. They spend pretty wisely on their latest deal that we're very excited to talk about. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jack, a.k.a. Jolly. Joining me is the very somber, maybe a little bit sad, but ultimately optimistic for the future, Jerry Blevins. Jerry, how you doing?
You nailed it. You summed it up. You put me in a nutshell, and that's sums up all my emotions. It was a tough loss for the Bengals. Mm. What a beautiful game. It goes down and it was a penalty. I could be a complete biased, you know, Bengal fan that felt like a lot of calls went their way.
I don't think you're wrong.
Like overtly. And I, you know, in the moment, I'm like, this feels biased. Mm. But at the same time, why would they decide to only go for Kansas City? Because Joe Burrow is a superstar too. So it's not like, you know, major market, minor market. I don't know, but it felt wrong. But I do know that the future is bright for my Bengals. So I'm excited. You know, another year of very good possible Super Bowl winning style. So I'm happy and sad at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summation of it. And with the Chiefs and Eagles kind of in the Super Bowl, my interest has waned. You know, wild card weekend, it was up there. I was really into all the teams in the field. Got a lot of good games. My Giants won. Now I'm kind of out of it. It's baseball season now in my mind. If with the Chiefs and Eagles at the end, I'm just not into it. I don't know.
How about the Empire State Building rocking some Eagles colors?
That's
what a big L.
Who made that call? Who gave that order? That's a crazy
thing.
Like
they've been pretty funny with their social media over the years. Like they did the little brother, little sibling day, and right. They shouted out the Chrysler Building, which was hilarious. This was terrible. Yeah, I was like embarrassed. I felt awkward for the Empire State Building. Don't do that.
I mean, it might be a little different if like the Eagles didn't embarrass the Giants like the week before. But still,
I don't think any Philly colors are where to go. So
I don't think any Phillies fan is thinking, oh, thank God the Empire State Building.
Whoever approved that should be fined. Everybody that said, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
I just want to chat with him. I want to get inside his brain for 5 minutes.
They should have to stand in front of their locker and answer questions. Like, what were you thinking when you decided to do this?
You're just trying to win the game. And that's all. All right. We talked a lot about football for the first 5 minutes of the show, but we are talking about the Mets. We are talking about Jeff McNeil getting a contract extension from the Mets brass. Every time we think they're done spending, they spend a little bit more. And they honestly spent on Jeff McNeil, the batting champion, a little bit less than I thought they would. He ends up signing a 4-year, $50 million contract extension. That's a $12.5 million AAV. And Jeff McNeil is going to be with the club for at least the next 4 years, possibly a fifth year with the club option there. A lot to love about this deal. I was pleasantly surprised, and the Mets get one of their two guys possible for extension locked up.
I agree with you. I think it's very team-friendly. Mm. Jeff McNeil wants to be a Met. He's happy, secure, enjoys everything. I think I am surprised that it was the amount and the years. I thought it was low for a player of his abilities. Mm. But I'm also, it's fair. It's not like it's a fair market that he could have gotten that on the open market if he were a free agent, whatever the case may be.
Sure.
But I love the deal for the Mets. I love the deal for Jeff McNeil. They get him for an extended prime. He's a late bloomer.
Right.
So he was going in a little bit older than everybody else. If he hit free agency, he gets some security and the team gets one of the best bat to ball players in baseball. A grindy defensive aggressor on defense. He's very good on both sides of the ball. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, when I first saw the signing, I was a little shocked on Jeff's end, I guess, for taking what I thought would have been a little bit lower of an offer. But kind of put things into perspective. One, you don't have to go through arbitration now. They duck out of all of that. That buyout is arbitration. That's great for both sides. Two, McNeil would have been 33 years old when he hit free agency. He was a late bloomer, as he said. His first year in the bigs, he was 26. Now he's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 next season. So it makes sense on account of that. Also, I feel like a lot of contact guys don't get a lot of love in free agency. They're not as prioritized as the big boppers in free agency. And, you know, we'll talk about Pete Alonso and what that contract might look like. It's going to be more than this for sure. But when you kind of take it all into perspective, I think it's great for Jeff McNeil. He gets to stay with the organization that he came up with. He gets to be the middle infield duo with Francisco Lindor for the next half decade. There's a lot to like from all of that. And I'm really, you know, a year ago, we were talking about, is Jeff McNeil going to get traded? Like, where is he going to land? What can we get for him? Do we sell low? Now we're extending him for the next 4 years. It's crazy how much a year changes things.
I just want to put this out there that I was anti-trading Jeff McNeil. You were,
through and through.
Through and through.
Through and through. I pondered it. I pondered it for a little bit. I'm glad
That's
they
fair.
Didn't.
You know? It's fair.
I think the thing I said the most last offseason was I'm glad I'm not a GM of the baseball team because these are hard decisions to make.
And they're very hard decisions. But again, this is a big win. Jeff McNeil going to be a Met for the next few years, right through his prime, extended prime, whatever the case may be, with an option for a fifth. Keeps everybody happy, and that is a huge bonus for the Mets. I guarantee they were like, whew, we have that done. We don't have to worry for the next couple of years. And Jeff McNeil gets some security, both in his wallet and the fact that he knows he's going to be a Met for a while.
Yeah, I mean, second base and shortstop are not easy positions to lock up like luxury pieces at, and the Mets have done that at least through 2028. There are a lot of Mets that are going to be locked up through 2028, which feels like a fake year when you read it out loud, especially like 2031, 2032. But McNeil, Edwin Diaz, Kodai Senga, Brandon Nemo, Francisco Lindor, all these guys for at least the next 5 years and more for some of the ones at the end there, they're going to be New York Mets. So we kind of have, you know, a core forming that we kind of already knew was going to be the Mets core, but the Mets have put up the money to ensure that these guys stay in Queens, which is really, really encouraging.
Very nice. Very nice. Like the Atlanta Braves light.
Yeah, no, but really, I mean, we hadn't really seen kind of one of those cost-friendly, team-friendly deals that the Braves do.
Well, they haven't really had a guy show up at 21 years old and light the league on fire like the Braves have had like two a year, I think.
It's crazy. I mean, they're probably going to get another one this year with Vaughn Grisham. Who knows? Who knows?
He did that last year. I'm not counting it.
You're not counting it? I feel like we might have not seen the best from him yet.
That's very fair. I say that, but he stormed out the door last year.
Crazy. And I think he was, a single A player when he came up? High A.
That's wild.
Crazy. All right, but we are talking about the Mets, not the Braves. So
that's true.
I guess let's kind of judge McNeil's outlook because we just did talk about he is a late bloomer. He's an older guy. He does get this sense of job security. And, you know, we had 2021, which was a very frustrating year for Jeff McNeil. I think the consensus was he was trying to pull for too much power. He wasn't doing, you know, he wasn't leaning into his strengths as a pure hitter. So I guess what version of Jeff McNeil will we see? I feel comfortable saying that I think he's probably going to stick to the strategy he used a lot last year, which led him to a batting title. But, you know, you did mention in our top 10 ranking, which I thought was a good point, how, you know, the shift is not really a factor anymore. So I think a lot of guys are probably going to hit for higher average this year. I don't think that lessens the value of Jeff McNeil in any way, but I do think it's an interesting point to bring up.
I think, you know, the biggest thing holding him back is power.
Yeah.
Because you got to be able to produce runs, especially in certain lineups. If you're going to be a big, you know, big chunk of the payroll, you got to be able to do that. So that's why he fell to me. He fell in my list to 10.
Yeah.
Simply for that. But he's so valuable to any team he's going to be on. And then you're right. I think this is all speculation, obviously, with the anti-shift. But I think his skill set is devalued a little bit because the league average is going to raise a little bit. I think, again, speculative. That'll make him stand out a little bit less. But he's still better than everybody, almost everybody in the league, at just being able to put the ball in play and do it with style, flip it, fight it off, whatever the case may be. And I do think, you know, I don't think 12 home runs is asking too much for Jeff McNeil.
Right.
He's still got the power. If he turns on some balls that get in, because his hole, like you can get him to swing at balls way in off here. And that's all day because he thinks he can hit everything, which is correct and incorrect. So I would challenge him here with a fastball see if he swings through it. But if you miss, which is, it's hard to throw exactly where you want. If you miss out a little bit, he's going to turn on that and put it in the upper deck. We saw it a few times. We saw it a bunch throughout his career, 23 homers in 19 and only 133 games. He's got it. You remember Josh Reddick at all?
Of course.
So Josh Reddick, great ball player, incredible defender. 1 year when he first came over to Oakland, that 2012 season, he hit like 33, 32 homers.
Yeah.
He did the same thing that, Jeff McNeil did. He didn't try too hard. The ball just, he just took advantage of, mistakes over the middle and just hit him. And he was crushing him in, the Coliseum. So right. No offense to, you know, City Field, but it's not as big as the Coliseum. But I think he got a little bit big. So did Jeff McNeil, thinking they're going to be 30 home run guys. And they figured themselves out a little bit. I think Jeff McNeil's skills at the plate definitely will age well because he doesn't swing too hard. He doesn't, you know, he's not trying to hit home runs. He's simply up there putting the bat on the ball. I think the contract is a huge win for the Mets. And it keeps Jeff McNeil happy, which is good for the clubhouse. Just a great ball player that would be a glue type player for any team. I'm so surprised that it got done this early, considering the amount that it was. Usually, if you go after a guy this early, you have to really entice him.
Yeah.
For years, but whatever the case may be, it is a huge win for both sides. I think it's, you know, as somebody that has watched him play for a half decade now, he's a hell of a ball player. I'm excited to cover him.
Yeah, I mean, so many win-win deals for the Mets this offseason. The Nimmo deal feels very win-win. 8 years of a premium center fielder with that low AAV. McNeil kind of feels the same way. And, you know, you brought up like the home run ball. I mean, McNeil still slugged 454 last season with 9 home runs, and that's because he smacked 39 doubles, which is a crazy high amount. I mean, his OPS plus is about the same as Pete Alonso, who's crushing 40 a season. So McNeil, he does it in different ways, which I think is so important to the context and the composition of the Mets lineup.
Good point.
You know, he batted everywhere last season. We really liked him in the 5-hole for a lot of last season. And, you know, when you look at his numbers, he doesn't really profile that way. But he's a great clutch hitter. He works a good at bat, and he's great with runners in scoring position. And, you know, you don't need the home run ball. And City Field, I think, has kind of like a sneaky good right field for Jeff McNeil. So when he gets a hold of one, he's able to crank one out. You know, he had a couple big home runs last season. But I think if you get this similar kind of production from every year, play 140 games, bat 300, take your doubles when you can get them, that's a solid bat to have in your lineup.
I think my favorite Mets lineup is when he's in the bottom half of the order.
When he's hitting eighth, it's nice. It's really nice.
It's unbelievable to have a guy of that caliber in the second half of your lineup. It just extends everything.
Right.
You just feel like he's going to hit everything. I felt like every time he was up in a clutch situation that the Mets were going to win, to come through, and for him to be in like the 8-hole, like unbelievable, huge W. But he's too good to not keep. And like fifth, I don't mind him fifth.
I really don't either. We still don't really have someone to protect.
That's a discussion for spring training probably, but like, I don't want him. I love him. It's a luxury to have him in the bottom half of the order, but he's too good to not get enough at bats because, you know, cumulative stats. The guy could be a 200 hit kind of guy.
Right.
If he got the at bats, which he won't in this lineup. I don't think he's going to get 600 and 700 at bats.
I mean, I don't think he's going to bat first or second because Nimmo Marte is just a really good formula at the top, you know, and that's going to be the next 4 years.
Yeah. And so him protecting Pete Alonso, it's a different skill set than a Schwarber that we would love.
Right.
But it's a very, you know, you put guys on, this guy's going to make you make a play on defense. Mm-hmm. And with the inability to shift, you know, we'll see what the outcome is, but I don't mind him batting fifth. I think that's amazing spot for him. So
yeah. And I mean, in a perfect world, you know, Vogelbach's firing on all cylinders, Canna's hitting well, and you can lower him in the lineup and have that
in a
lineup
in
extension.
A perfect world, yeah. Eduardo Escobar is batting fifth.
That's true. That's true. That was kind of like, we were talking about that last year, how that was like his upside. He could be the 25 home run guy to protect Pete.
That's it.
We'll see. Cause you know, we do have another year of Escobar, so we'll see how that goes. But I, the games where we had McNeil at eighth and ninth, like early in the season, were really nice because the pitchers don't get to breathe. You know, you get through the 1-5 gauntlet, you have killers at the bottom of the lineup with like Canna and McNeil and Escobar when he's at his best. So all good things there. I also want to ask you, I guess, do you think McNeil is still going to split time as like the fourth outfielder now, or do the Mets kind of just pigeonhole him at second base? That's his spot.
I haven't really took a super deep dive into their roster construction yet, but I feel like he's a second baseman.
Yeah.
Everyday second baseman. The only time he gets time off is if, you know, Canna's ailing or they have to do something in the outfield. For me, he's the second baseman every day.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. I mean, the outfield depth is admittedly a little thin. You know, you have Darren Ruff, who can probably only play left field. Same with Tommy Pham. People are forgetting we got Timmy LeCastro too, which I'm excited about because he's a speedy, nice bat off the bench that all the Yankees fans.
I forgot about that. Love. Yeah, I forgot about that.
He could be good. You never know. So, yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for him mostly, but I would like to see McNeil as a second baseman.
When they signed Tommy Pham, I don't think McNeil sees much of the outfield.
Yeah.
Maybe later in the game, kind of bringing Guillorme in, he slides over. I don't know. I just feel like he's too good at second base. I think him and Lindor, their chemistry is going to, it needs to reach another level. Last year, it really got to a certain level. But again, with these shifts, they're going to be a lot more double play opportunities because they're going to be playing their primary positions. I think you're going to need to see more reps of them together for that to truly peak.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it improved so much last season. And it's interesting to think that, you know, Lindor can kind of bring that out of McNeil, that next level. And most of McNeil's great metrics, he was 95th percentile and outs above average. Most of that came from second base. But we saw him make some really nice plays in right and left field last year.
Underappreciated defense in the outfield. Another thing. I'm so impressed with Jeff McNeil's defensive abilities. I always knew he was a solid second baseman. He really turned it up, but his outfield play from when we first came up and he started playing the outfield to his ability, he's a Gold Glove left fielder. Right. Like I'm not just saying things. I truly think if he played every day in left field, if he accumulated enough left field stats, I think he could win and should win a Gold Glove. The guy just makes plays. He has a nose for the ball. He's like one of those outside linebackers that just you see him everywhere. Every tackle, you see him like jumping up and then clapping his hands. He's that kind of guy. And when you put him in left field, he just makes plays close to the wall, sliding everywhere. The guy just knows how to get to the baseball.
Yeah, I mean, almost to a fault, he's not afraid to put his body on the line. I mean, the one play in San Francisco last year where I think the Mets were down like 8-0 in the second inning, and he goes crashing into the short left field wall. They had to pull him from the game. That's the one I always think of when I think of McNeil in the outfield, because he doesn't care, man. He just wants to make the play, which is really admirable, but also kind of scary.
Yeah, very scary. I feel you on that. Like, ooh, bud, we're up, you know, 15 runs.
Like Thomas Cipucci gave up a grand slam in the first. Like, you know, you can let it go foul. It's all right.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. So, yeah, that's the big news on the Mets front. McNeil is going to be under contract for the foreseeable future. He's likely, you know, for most of his prime of his career, he's going to be a Met, which is very cool. Like, Brandon Nimmo's probably going to be a Met for life now as well. So these are lifetime Mets that are going to be the next era of Queens baseball, which is awesome.
This will go down and be kind of just not even a big story for most of baseball. There's a lot of other stuff going on, but this is secretly, especially those teams in the NL East are like, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to see this guy stay in this uniform and stay in this lineup because they understand what kind of impact he brings. It's truly a tremendous contract for the Mets front office, who have just crushed it this entire offseason. This is a good one. This one, again, will get swept under the rug with all the extensions, with the free agencies, with the bringing of Kodai Senga. Shout out to Kodai Senga, by the way. Happy 30th birthday today.
Oh, very nice. Today?
Yeah.
No way.
But this will be swept under the rug because it's not huge news. It's not a huge extension. It's not a huge amount of money.
Right.
But it is a big, big deal for this ball club.
It's really nice to have a player that other teams hate facing, but know they would love to have on their own team. It's nice to have that guy in your lineup on your roster, because I know if Jeff McNeil was a Philly or a Brave, he would drive me insane. So I'm very glad he's in that.
He drives me insane, and he's on my team, and he was a part of my but again, he has matured tons with his right. like antics and his helmet slamming and his
didn't see that COVID last year. Yeah. I forgot about that.
The COVID year with him. Well, when you hit 327 or 326, there's not a lot of room for cuss words.
For frustration.
But that whole COVID year when there was no fans in the stands, you just hear every F-bomb he ever threw. That's what we should get John Boy. I'd be like, hey, Jimmy, like, just cut a bunch of McNeil cuss words.
There are so many like F-bomb compilations from the 2020 season, because what are they gonna do? There are hot mics everywhere. They can't do anything.
You gotta like change a lot of your habits right there. That's exactly, you know, half the reason why I sat out. I got this, you know, squeaky clean image to keep up.
Exactly, of course, you know, people can't hear you.
I'm out there, you know, talking shit to the players, telling them that they're terrible in my own head, you know, to myself. They can't
just
hear
to
me,
hype
but
yourself
in my head,
up though,
about to destroy you, and then you got me mic'd up and they're like, oh my god, this guy's too intense.
Jerry Blevins a huge asshole, what the hell. Thought he was like this nice guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And guys, the Mets are placing a bet on McNeil for the next 4 years, and you can play some bets too for today's sponsor, the DraftKings Sportsbook. Thank you to them for sponsoring today's episode of Shea Station. Guys, I just planned my futures bets for MLB this year. I picked my Cy Young winner, my Rookie of the Year. And if you're in baseball mode, you can do all of that right now. But if you want some immediate live action game bets, you got to bet on the NBA. And right now, new customers can bet just $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day betting on NBA basketball. Love that. So go to their easy and free-to-use app right now. Opt in and place the same game parlay on any NBA game. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. You can bet on the Knicks and the Nets, whatever team you want. I got no judgment here. Download their app now and sign up with code SHEA. That's important. SHEA. And new customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code SHEA. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. And thank you to DraftKings for sponsoring today's episode. Well, you talked about Kodai Senga before. Happy birthday to him, which is splendid. I love that for Kodai. He recently told the Mets that he's sitting out of the World Baseball Classic. He's not pitching for Team Japan. He's going to go to Mets spring training, get acclimated. I'm a little, you know, sad for, you know, I really like the World Baseball Classic as a concept, and I'm really excited for it. And I do think, you know, when Kodai Senga is pitching for Team Japan 5 or so years ago, striking out Giancarlo Stanton, Evan Longoria, you know, that's a really, really cool sight. At the same time, I'm very, very happy that he's going to, you know, not take that risk and go to Mets spring training and get acclimated the way he feels is proper.
It's the right move. Yeah. It's a smart move. It's not an easy move. I'm sure there's a lot of people in his home Japan who are very unhappy to see it, but they understand, man. Samurai Japan is an awesome team. International baseball, to me, Japan is like the peak of international. Japan, Cuba, the U.S., right. Like, you know, the Dominican, all those, the Latin American countries hold their own. But I just love the style of play, and missing one of your best pitchers is huge. But it's the right move. He's coming in. He's going to be in a brand new style rotation with every fifth day. He's getting acclimated to the playing every day, all that stuff. So it's a smart move. He needs to be in his first spring training. He needs to be around the team. He needs to get familiar with the personnel, the personalities, and just the feel of the team. He needs to be in on the team meetings. It would have been – you wouldn't – if you were a player in that team, on that team, in that clubhouse, you couldn't hold it against him for being gone. Right. But his absence would have been – noted every day, because when he was gone, like, these are huge chemistry building moments. It's a chance for him, especially a guy that doesn't have the luxury of speaking the same language, or at least very comfortably with everybody else. There's just a ton of moments in the clubhouse, on the field, where, you know, you're just ribbing on a guy or giving him a hard time, busting balls, like learning personalities. It would be a big loss for him just on that kind of thing. So I think it's a very smart move, a move that I would appreciate if I were in that clubhouse. Mature It is unfortunate for international baseball, which I love to watch, and the right. World Baseball Classic. But yeah, it's the right move.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a responsible decision. And the World Baseball Classic, it's going to be March 8th to March 21st. So that's almost 2 weeks of, you know, really high intense baseball. Like, guys are going to be trying their hardest. And I think it's kind of especially tough for pitchers because you're usually taking that time to ramp up and get back to your level. And you're kind of thrust into that. And, like, I know a lot of guys choose it willingly. But at the same time, in the first year of the new deal, when you're playing in a new league, that's a tough choice to make. So I'm very, very glad that I think he's just going to take the safer route in the end.
Smart move.
Yeah, definitely so. Speaking of Mets starting pitching depth, an article came out pretty much like just before we started recording. And it had a small detail that I wanted to expand on a little bit before we wrap up today's short show. About Tyler McGill and David Peterson, because apparently the Mets' ideal outcome in spring training has both of those pitchers missing the cut for the active roster. We saw both of them spend time in the bullpen last season. We both thought that maybe these guys could become bullpen weapons in the end, especially Tyler McGill. In the end, the Mets want these guys as high-quality pitching depth at AAA, being stretched out in the case of one of their starters going down with injury. And the Mets do have an older rotation. That's an entirely possible risk. But it's kind of tough for guys like McGill and Peterson, who have showed that at the big league level, they can be dominant, they can be effective, especially Peterson last season. He had a great year, but just doesn't really fit into the puzzle piece of this roster right now. So I found that a little interesting.
I agree with it. I think, you know, these things have a way of working themselves out with injuries and everything. These guys are too valuable. Starting pitching is so hard to find.
Right.
These guys have shown that they have high ceilings as starting pitching. So I think it's the smart move. Obviously, ideally they would start in AAA, but who knows what's going to shake out in spring training. These guys are going about their business. It's part of growing up in the game. You have options. This is the deal. You may not feel like it's the best situation for you. You may feel jaded or whatever the case may be. If you were on another ball club, you'd be in the rotation for 3 years now, but that's part of it. It's out of your control. All you can do as a player is show up every day and try to get better every single day. And these two are so good that they're not going to just be pushed to the bullpen. You know, it's one of the tough parts about being a ball player. You get older and you're not getting the time in the big leagues, accumulating days of service, you know, pushing yourself to arbitration where you can make enough money to worry about the back end and retirement and all that. But it is what it is. I think this is the right move. If it's even true, it's a speculative article, whatever the case may be. But I think they're too valuable as rotation pieces to not continue to be in the rotation, whether that's in AAA. It's the same with Alvarez getting at-bats, same as Brett Beatty, Vientos. These guys need regular at-bats, regular turns through the rotation, and their day will come.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, Verlander's going to be 40 this year. Scherzer's going to be 39. Kodai Senga just turned 30 today. Happy birthday. Carrasco's going to be 36, and Quintana's 34. This is an older rotation. It's the oldest rotation in baseball. They will get their spots. Yeah,
both the top two guys, Scherzer, Verlander, are coming off, you know, sub 200 inning seasons. They both had limited, you know, starts. Senga is coming off of out of Japan where they pitch once a week. So that new 5-day rotation, they might skip a day. Carlos Carrasco, Cookie, we know some of his injury history that we've seen in the past. He's very good. Again, these things work themselves out throughout the season, but if you don't have them in AAA, and when Scherzer needs, you know, to take a day off, or you need to give Senga, you know, a couple of trips through the rotation off, if one of these two guys don't step in, it makes your team less value, or they're a lesser team without one of these guys being 6-7 starters. So,
yeah,
it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, especially how well David Peterson handled his job last year. This one's going to be tough. That was easy last year because like next year's my year.
Right.
This one will be like, you know, maybe chip on the shoulder, but he handled it as a true pro last year. I was so impressed. I think he'll do the same thing this year.
Yeah, I mean, over 100 innings last year, an ERA 3.83. He had a really terrific year in and out of the rotation. Tyler McGill had a great April, started opening day. I feel like people forget about that as well. So I'm hoping that it's the latter there, that it gives them a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They want to compete. They're hungry now. And these will be, you know, the young horses of the Mets rotation if they do get their crack.
They would be number one and two for the Oakland Athletics.
That's true. Probably.
That's I mean, you know what I mean? Like they would they be just traded the Cole Irvin, so they would be batting. They would be battling each other for the opening day start on a lesser team. So
Jerry, have you looked at the Oakland A's roster?
Don't
recently?
Do it to me. I don't.
Dude, it's bad.
It's sad.
Dude, it's sad. It's tough. We won't go down that road, but it's, you know, don't look.
Shout out to my man, Johnny Daskow, who was the AAA radio play-by-play guy for the Sacramento River Cats. Yeah, he made it to the big leagues. He's going to be, he's an old man in his, you know, in his 40s, in his 50s now, actually. Got to call up to the big leagues. That's a tough road being a play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Trying to chase your dream. He was with the A's when I was in Sacramento in AAA. An absolute class act of a human being. He calls me every year on my half birthday, which is hilarious. Every time it surprises me, I'll be like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, happy half birthday. It's your half birthday. It's a big day for you. And like he starts it every day or every year. I'm like, what's up? He's like, oh, big day for you.
What about your actual birthday?
Yeah, he calls me on that too. Okay. But the half birthday is hilarious. That's his kind of personality. He'd be like, hey, big day for you today, Blev. I'm like, what? What's going on? He's like, it's your half birthday.
Come on, man. It's a big deal. Well, that's awesome.
But he gets the call up. Happy for him. So all's good in Oakland land from their media coverage standpoint.
For some people, yeah. I mean, not so much on the field, but everything outside of that, pretty good. It's tough. Yeah. This is a partial A's podcast, you know. It always kind of has been. So we're rooting.
I love the A's, man. I truly do. I love the fans. I feel like Mets fans and A's fans, if they were any closer, they're like twins on the opposite ends of the coast, whatever the case may be. So, you know, the A's went through it or going through it. The Mets went through their version of it.
Your two favorite baseball teams, they could not be more different right now. The fans might be similar, but man, could not be more different directions. It's tough.
Yes.
What a sad note to end the show on. That's
it's not sad. It's reality. This is life, dog. You know it.
Tough love. You got anything else, Jay?
No, man. Happy birthday, Kodai Senga.
Happy birthday.
Congratulations to Jeff McNeil. Let's go Bengals, too.
Let's go Bengals. Bright futures.
Right future, looking ahead.
Hell yeah.
All good things.
All right, guys. We will see you again on Thursday where we finish our top 10 saga. We're doing the top 10 pitchers in the National League East next. Did you see some of the replies, Jerry, to our top 10 players in the NL East?
I did. And a lot of them, good feedback.
Good
some
feedback.
Some people were talking some trash, and I was like, show me your 10, and they're fair.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't have Bryce Harper as number one is still surprising to me, and it's probably one that I don't know if I would change it.
I kind of regret it a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean he's the best player maybe arguably in the league every year, but I value defense so much.
Right.
And he was a DH last year. He's going to miss half this year, but you know whatever the case may be, who cares? It's just Jerry and Jolly making a list.
It's important stuff, dude.
Yeah, and I think Lindor at shortstop, people want him to be bad and to make fun of that contract, but he's great.
He's a stud. The Braves fans definitely found the Twitter post for sure.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you know.
Austin Riley, whatever. Well, I think
again, I love the feedback, and I told you going in, I was like, dude, this is going to bring some vitriol.
Bring it all. Bring it.
Bring it on. I like it. You know, again, this is just our own BS. Like, yeah. This list, I haven't even written in a 10th list, a number 10 for our pitchers.
Wow.
I don't know what to do at the time. Nobody cares. We're not MLB Network that we're, you know, it's making headlines.
Yeah.
I'm not putting in your Madden rating. You know what I mean? I'm not changing your stats on your show, you know, MLB The Show.
Come on.
But, yeah. Although that would be fun. I want to be that guy.
Just factor that in for no reason whatsoever. Like, who even makes that rating?
I did have a 99 curveball, which for a
really?
Couple years, which was super,
shit.
Super cool. Wow. Well, that was like a highlight for me.
Jerry Blevins 99 curveball. I wonder what your last rating was.
Like in 2019. 26 probably.
Come on, no way. You had to at least be in like the 70s. Come on.
I had a good year in 2019, but the 2018 year was terrible. So they're like, this guy is washed.
This guy's done. He's cooked. All right. Well, we'll tackle all of that on Thursday when we see you guys next. But until then, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
See you guys soon.